Welcome back to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. Super Bowl Sunday is a national event. Nearly 1 in 3 Americans are anticipated to tune in to watch the Kansas City Chiefs face the San Francisco 49ers. Many of those gathering will be like me, not a regular fan or follower of the sport, but still participating in this annual rite. It's a cultural ritual that my immigrant family adopted very early. I have memories of rooting for the Chicago Bears while enjoying samosas along with pizza and barbecue wings. Now, when my family moved to West Tennessee from Springfield, Illinois, I attended a local high school, and the rite of passage as a freshman was going to the Friday night football games. But was there more going on than I may have realized? Talking to Pastor Smith generated a lot of, well, bigger questions about the role of sports in our culture, especially given how polarized we are. And yet, those divides seem to disappear when we root for a team. To explore this phenomena, I turned to a philosophy and religion professor, Eric Bain Salbo. He not only studies the subject, he's
author of a couple books on this topic, Game Day and God, Football, Faith, and Politics in the American South, and then co-author with Greg Sapp on a book called Understanding Sport as a Religious Phenomenon.
Bain Salbo grew up in the South.
I grew up in Nashville and went to the University of Tennessee. I've been a sports fan since I was a kid. When I started to think about this and I met Joe Price, who has been a really important figure in the development of this area of study, he was also, well, and still is, the editor of the Sport and Religion series that comes out from Mercer University Press. When I started to think about this and I met Joe and through various conversations and then ended up pitching this book to him for the series. In fact, I remember talking to him and he said he was waiting for somebody to come along and ask to write this book. And so I hope I did it justice. The subsequent years, there were just more and more scholars who tended to be picking up on these issues, taking the tools of religious studies as a way of trying to understand more deeply this phenomenon, which is huge across the world, but, you know, a good amount of the work is being done in the United States.
And as a scholar looking at the intersection of religion, sports, and politics,
the Super Bowl is part of our civil religion. It's part of what helps us to celebrate what we think is distinctive and important and worthwhile about our nation, about our culture. And when you dig deeper, the question is, well, why does it represent something about our culture?
Civil religion. That's a term coined by sociologist Robert Bella in the 1960s to describe a non-sectarian quasi-religious faith that, while drawing on religion, remains independent from it. I asked Bain Salbo how he defines it.
I think when most scholars use the term now, what they're thinking about is civil religion is the way in which the nation itself becomes the object of worship. In other words, the nation itself is the transcendent. The nation is that thing that's larger than ourselves. The nation is that thing that demands sacrifices of us and that we're willing to sacrifice for, because it is that thing that is eternal, that will live on long after we're gone from this earth. And then we have certain practices. We have certain sacred documents like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, which can be challenged in various ways as it is right now. So we have certain sacred documents and we have certain rituals that help us to celebrate this thing that we're a part of. Typically, when they started out, they thought of things like, you know, July 4th and Thanksgiving. And now I think we can include things like the World Series and the Super Bowl and the national championship game in college football. And from my perspective, sports are an integral part of that celebration of who we are. What sports do, I think, in the American psyche is it provides us with examples, beautiful examples of human excellence. Athletes aren't necessarily always the most virtuously excellent people, like morally excellent people, but they perfect their craft in such a way, and it's on display for everybody to see. And that's not just an important thing for American culture. It's important for most cultures, almost every culture, as far as I know. So that's one thing. I think the competition in sport is also something that fits very well with the American outlook, the American psyche. We see ourselves as competitive people. We see our nation as a competitive nation.
Strong, competitive, striving for excellence. These messages are a powerful part of our national identity. And that's why, according to Bain Selbo, politicians try to associate or tap into sports-like metaphors.
There are times where, in President Trump's rhetoric, he turns American foreign policy, for example, into a sport. We have to be the winners. You know, China has been taking us as chumps. So we're going to play hardball, and we are going to work out a better deal so that we can be winners, you know, in the international marketplace.
He also sees violence and sacrifice as part of the quasi-religious culture of sports.
As in football, which, as you said, is very violent, aggressive, hyper-masculine, the violence really is physical violence. Religion and violence have been bound together for as long as we know that religion has been around. In all sport, there is sacrifice. I mean, athletes make sacrifices in order to perfect their craft. They make sacrifices in sports like football. They're willing to risk life and limb to be able to perform the ritual in front of the congregants. There is always, in competitive sports, a winner and a loser. And the loser is a sacrificial offering. Sometimes the sacrifice is just in terms of energy or resources. But as in football, which, as you said, is very violent, aggressive, hyper-masculine, the violence really is physical violence.
Are you witnessing the violence? Do you participate in cheering on and celebrating and encouraging injury, trauma, potential future brain trauma that's going to affect the quality of the life after the average 3.5 years of a professional football player's career?
Well, that's a very personal question. Well, that's what I'm conflicted about, because I grew up watching college football. I love the University of Tennessee for lots of reasons other than college football, but I'm very devoted to my alma mater. But football is part of that.
Celebrating sports heroes who break records and sacrifice their bodies to win, well, Bain Selbo traces that practice back to ancient religious and cultural rituals.
Greek gods and heroes. They were central to religious practice, right? The ancient Olympic Games, it was a religious festival, explicitly so. It wasn't that there were the Olympic Games and then there were like religious things that went on with them. They were very explicitly a religious event.
Today, football games are not the religious rites of the ancient Greeks, but we do gather together and we begin with a solemn pledge to the nation. And there are anthems celebrating country. With all these ingredients, can the Super Bowl potentially be a bridge in our polarized society?
I wish I had a more hopeful answer to that question. We hear from pundits and politicians is, oh, well, we just need to listen to one another and do this and that and, you know, find areas of common ground and make compromises. And all of that's true, but then we don't seem to have any mechanism for us to start to engage in that kind of behavior. I do think that sport brings us together as a country. I think on Super Bowl Sunday, there is this common experience that we have. The problem, it seems to me, is that increasingly have decided that politics is just not something we're going to talk about.
Do you think that Super Bowl Sunday can offer a unique place for us to see each other as the same or on the same team?
I think in the stands at a football game, you're going to have people of very different political persuasions all cheering for the same team, right? And in a certain sense, they've come together. But they're not talking about their political differences. The problem is that they're together for that particular event. but then they're going to go their separate ways. And, you know, one's going to watch MSNBC and one's going to watch Fox. And, you know, they're never going to have a conversation across their political divide. But sport just doesn't bring us together in that more substantive way that would start to address the polarization. One positive thing in thinking about this divide between sort of us versus them is that, unlike a lot of other ways that human beings have separated themselves out into us versus them, when the Alabama-Auburn game is over, the fans overwhelmingly leave peacefully. And the next day, a huge number of them will show up in church on Sunday morning and sit in pews with one another. I think that's an important thing that sport does in our culture.
While there may not be a culture of talking about politics per se at sporting events, political issues do emerge and can be divisive. It's been almost 4 years since the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, used the opening ceremony of a preseason game to take a seat and then a knee to protest inequality and police brutality during the Pledge of Allegiance. Bain Selbo shared his reflections on that activism.
Just in terms of my own political viewpoints, I very much supported the athletes in doing that. I thought it was an effective way of drawing attention to the issues. And I thought that the sort of hyper-nationalist kind of response to that was misguided. Even if people say who were, you know, who may have been sympathetic to some of the issues that they were trying to draw our attention to, even they may have had a negative response, because we are so polarized that sport is this place where we can put that polarization behind us and just, you know, go root for the 49ers, right? Just enjoy the game, root for our team, hug a stranger when you win. I think Colin Kaepernick and others were intruding with their political protest into institutions that many Americans want to keep sacred. And by sacred, it means qualitatively different than the profane. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it taps into God or something like that. It just means that thing is very special and important to us. And so when they use that space, a sacred space, for a political purpose, which is profane, they were intruding into a sort of sacred dimension for many fans that they found offensive.
That was Eric Bain Selbo, Dean of the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at Indiana University, Kokomo. He is also the author of several books on sports and religion, including Game Day and God, Football, Faith, and Politics in the American South. This year, one Super Bowl ritual, the commercials, will break some records. USA Today reports that the NFL and Fox Networks have agreed for the first time to broadcast paid political ads during the Super Bowl. The re-election campaign for President Trump and the campaign for Democratic presidential candidate, former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg, will each run one 60-second ad. The price tag, $10 million. Now, coming up at a time when our country is divided and the media is often demonized, we meet a journalist who uses technology to create a new outlet. And in the process, she found a new calling, bringing people together to explore the divides in a place where neighbors may feel like they are living worlds apart. That's coming up on Inspired. Stay with us.